Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member Avram Goldar and today Maseches Baba Basra Daf Kuf Nun Tes, the ninth Perek Mishameis. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is amended to be, if someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, but no motz miyat halukuchos, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies. But zoi shekasha b'dinim emonos, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. The apparent difficulty is that the buyers should tell the grandson, avuch mezabin v'at ma'apik, your father sold us a property and you're taking it from us? How can you inherit what your father sold? The Gemara questions this difficulty, suggesting the grandson can tell the buyers, I'm coming to inherit from my grandfather directly, not from my father. So the father's sale is ineffective. The perspective is supported by the Pasuk, in place of your fathers shall be your sons, you shall appoint them as officials throughout the land. This indicates that a son takes his father's place to inherit the grandfather. The Gemara will eventually explain the difficulty that perhaps the pasuk is only a bracha to have inheriting descendants and not teaching a law. Because this law is not taught outright, it's described as difficult. Point number two, the Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among dinim amonos. If one signed a document of edus for someone, v'nasa chasano, and then became a son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relative, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, hu meheman achrin mehemne? He's not believed about a signature, yet others are believed? If he's suspected to testify falsely for his father-in-law, perhaps he signed the document after becoming a relative and predated it. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult. Dilma gezeres melachi. Perhaps it's a decree of the king, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because the relative is suspected to lie. If you do not say so, then Moshe and Aaron, who cannot testify about their father-in-law, is it because they're not believed to be truthful? Rather, it must be a gezeres melach, disqualifying edus about relatives. And point number three, there was a person who told someone, I'm selling you the property of Bar-Sisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in an estate called the Beit Bar-Sisin of the Bar-Sisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually for Bar-Sisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Bar-Sisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be a motzi mechaver l'avoraya. The one seeking to take property from his fellow, the burden of proof is upon him. The buyer who is attempting to take property held by its previous owner must prove his case. The Gemara poses a contradiction of both opinions from the case of the disputed three-year chazaka of Shechina Gavai, and in its answer explains Rav Nachman's reasoning here, that since the owner said he was selling Bar-Sisin's properties, and this property is called the Bay Bar-Sisin, the seller must prove it is not actually from that estate. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is meant to be, if someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, but no motz miyat halukuchos, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies, v'zohi shekasha b'dinim amonos, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. The apparent difficulty is that the buyers should tell the grandson, Avuch mezabin v'at ma'apik, your father sold us a property and you're taking it from us? How can you inherit what your father sold? The Gemara questions this difficulty, suggesting the grandson can tell the buyers, Makol chavu da abakasina, I'm coming to inherit from my grandfather directly, not from my father. So the father's sale is ineffective. The perspective is supported by the pasuk, Tachas avosech yubanecho tishisem usarim b'kol aretz. In place of your fathers shall be your sons, you shall appoint them as officials throughout the land. This indicates that a son takes his father's place to inherit the grandfather. The Gemara will eventually explain the difficulty that perhaps the pasuk is only a bracha to have inheriting descendants and not teaching a law. Because this law is not taught outright, it's described as difficult. Point number two, the Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among dinim amonos. If one signed a document of edus for someone, v'nasa chasano, and then became a son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relative, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, hu meheman achrin mehemne? He's not believed about a signature, yet others are believed? If he's suspected to testify falsely for his father-in-law, perhaps he signed the document after becoming a relative and predated it. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult. Dilma gezeres melachi. Perhaps it's a decree of the king, meaning Kadosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because the relative is suspected to lie. If you do not say so, then Moshe and Aaron, who cannot testify about their father-in-law, is it because they're not believed to be truthful? Rather, it must be a gezeres melach, disqualifying edus about relatives. And point number three, there was a person who told someone, I'm selling you the property of Bar-Sisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in an estate called the Beit Barsisin of the Barsisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually for Barsisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Barsisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be a motzi mechaver l'avoraya. The one seeking to take property from his fellow, the burden of proof is upon him. The buyer who is attempting to take property held by its previous owner must prove his case. The Gemara poses a contradiction of both opinions from the case of the disputed three-year chazaka of Shechina Gavai, and in its answer explains Rav Nachman's reasoning here, that since the owner said he was selling Barsisin's properties, and this property is called the Beit Barsisin, the seller must prove it is not actually from that estate. All right, so now we go to Siman Daf Kuf Nun Tes, and we had many suggestions in our Simanim contest. One of the most common ones was very popular, was a camp canteen. The canteen is a place where kids go buy candies when they're staying at camp. So camp canteen is the simon for Kuf Nun Tes. So here goes. The young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nush from Barsisin, but claimed the sour candies were not really from Sisin, they were just called Sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. So once again, slow motion. The young man who took the canteen and camp, canteen? That must be round off. Kuf Nun Tes. The young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather, which reminds us, a ruling was sent from Eretz Yisrael, which is meant it to be. If someone sold his father's property but died during the father's lifetime, but no mosim yet halukuchos, the son's son can take the property from the buyers after his grandfather dies, v'zoi shekasha bedini mamonos, and this is something difficult to understand among monetary matters. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, which reminds us, the Gemara suggests a case for the difficult to understand among dinim amanos is, if one signed a shtar of edus for someone, v'nasa chasano, and then he became his son-in-law, he cannot authenticate his own signature since he's now disqualified from testifying about his relatives, but others can confirm his signature. The difficulty is, he's not believed about his signature, yet others are believed. The Gemara concludes that this is not difficult, Dilma Gezeres Melchi. Perhaps it's the decree of the king, Kosh Baruch Hu, that he cannot testify about his relative while others can, and not because the relative is suspected to lie. So the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer, because he was inheriting his grandfather, told the camp rav that he could not accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nush from Barsisin, but claimed the sour candies were not really from Sisin, they were just called Sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. Which reminds us that there was a person who told someone, Nichse de Barsisin mizabninulach, I'm selling you the property of Barsisin, meaning the properties I bought from him. There was a property in his estate called the Beit Barsisin of the Barsisin estate, but the seller claimed it was not actually from Barsisin, but it was merely called that and not included in the sale. Rav Nachman established the land in the buyer's possession, requiring the seller to prove it was not truly Barsisin's property. Rav objected that the law should be Hamotzi Mechavero, Alvaraya. So once again, the young man who took the canteen and camp away from a buyer because he was inheriting his grandfather told the camp rav that he cannot accept edus from him about his brother's account because it's a gezeres melech, and was overruled when he sold all the nush from Barsisin, but claimed the sour candies are not really from Sisin, they were just called Sisin sizzling sour candies in name only. All right, so now it's time for a four blabach chazara. Daf Kuf Nun Hei. So the simon Daf Kuf Nun Hei is reeds. So here goes. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Hei, Kana, reed. When the young man celebrate his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, which reminds the Gemara asks, Katam Emasai Mocha Benichse Aviv, from when can a youth who is unfamiliar with business sell his late father's properties? The Rashbam adds, this refers to land, but Metaltalin may even be sold by a 6 or 7 year old. Rava quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 18 years old, but Rav Huna Bar Chinina quoted Rav Nachman saying he must be 20. Either way, he must physically be an adult, which was the subject of the examination of the youth who died after selling his father's property. Even a 20-year-old without simanim is halachically a katan unless he shows other symptoms of asaris. The Gemara brings a machlokas if it's within his 20th year or after his 20th year. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who is only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, which reminds us, Rav Huna Breda Rav Yeshua says, L'edus eduso edus. Regarding edus, the testimony of a youth who is not old or knowledgeable enough to sell property is valid testimony. Marzutra says this only applies to metaltalin, which he can sell, but regarding real estate, which he cannot sell, his edus is also not accepted. So when the young man celebrated his 20th birthday by selling his inherited field of reeds, his younger brother, who was only believed to testify about the sale of the reed flute, but not the field, gave his portion of the field as a gift to the man who did him favors, which reminds us, Amemar says, "Umatnasu matana," and the gift of a youth giving away inherited property is a valid gift. He would not give someone a gift unless he received some benefit from him. Therefore, the rabbi said his gift should be valid, so people would do things for him. Daf Kuf Nun Vav. So the symbol of Daf Kuf Nun Vav is a canoe. So here goes. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing. Canoeing? That must be learned Daf Kuf Nun Vav. Canoe. The 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, which reminds us, Shmuel said, "Bot kinu kedushin ugerishin uchalitza umiyunin." We check a youth for simanim of adulthood regarding marriage, divorce, chalitza, and miyun. The Gemara explains why Shmuel said they should be checked. So the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simani Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim. Which reminds us, Rabbi Eliezer responded, "Bnei Rochel tikborom iman." Rochel's sons, their mother should bury them. They are wicked people. Shmuel explains that Rabbi Eliezer considered Rochel's sons wicked because they were maintaining thistles in their vineyard. He's following his reasoning in the Mishnah, which states, "Hamakayim kotzim kerem." If one maintains thistles in his vineyard, Rabbi Eliezer says kaddish. This condemns the field as kolayim, but the Chachamim say nothing condemns a field as kolayim except davar shekamohu mekayimin, something the likes of which people maintain. Since people do not generally maintain kotzim, they do not make kolayim. Eliezer holds that since in Arabia people maintain kotzim for feeding their animals, it makes kolayim. So, the 13-year-old boy is canoeing to the Simanim Bedika Center, made sure not to dock near the wicked boys who are maintaining kotzim in a kerem, which is problematic because of kolayim, and was told by a man in a fancy canoe that it was a gift from a shchimira who gave it verbally to him on a Shabbos, which reminds us in the next mission, Rabbi Eliezer says, "B'Shabbos Dvarv Kayamin." If a shchimira gives a gift on Shabbos, his words are fulfilled without a kinyan, mifnei she'in yachol lichtov, since he cannot write avro b'chol, but not if it was given on a weekday. He holds that shchimira was enabled to verbally give gifts on Shabbos only when he has no other option. Rabbi Yeshua responds, "B'Shabbos Amr," they said, "his verbal gift is effective on Shabbos, kal v'chomer b'chol, then it certainly is on a weekday." He argues that if he can verbally give gifts when he lacks the ability to make a kinyan, then he certainly can when he has that ability. Daf Kuf Nun Zayin. So the simmer Daf Kuf Nun Zayin is ice cream cones. So here goes. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Zayin, cones, ice cream cones. When the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ain safik motz midei vadai, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, nafla bayis olam v'lo aviv, a house collapsed on someone and his father or anyone he inherits, and there was a ksuba, a debt against the son's assets. The father's heirs claim, haben meis rishon v'achachach meis av, the son died first and afterwards the father died. Thus, the son did not inherit the father's assets, and they cannot be collected for his obligations. The creditors claim the father died first and the son inherited him before dying, so his debts can be collected from these assets. Beis Shammai says, Yochaloku, the father's heirs and son's creditors divide the estate. Beis Hillel says, Nechasim bechazkasim, the properties remain in the possession of the father's heirs. Beis Hillel rules, Ein safek motz midei vadai, an uncertain claim cannot extract from a certain claim. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ain safik motz midei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him to ekne. So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ain safik motz midei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de ekne, which reminds us, Shmuel asked, de ekne v'kanamau, if a borrower writes in the shtar that he's meshabed whatever properties I will acquire, and he later acquired property, what is the halacha? Does it become meshubed to the earlier loans? So when the ice cream store shaped like a giant cone collapsed on the owner and his son, and the son's creditor couldn't collect because ain safik motz midei vadai, he tried collecting other debts from a borrower who told him de ekne, but found out he would have to split it with another lender because the borrower also told him de ekne, which reminds us. The Gemara discusses what the din is if one borrowed from two people saying de ekne and then purchased property. Daf Kuf Nun Ches. So the simon Daf Kuf Nun Ches is kinuach dessert, and we use a dessert reception. So here goes. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, that must be on Daf Kuf Nun Ches, kinuach. When the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, which reminds us, the next mishnah states, Nafla bais alav al ishto, the house collapsed on someone and his wife, killing them. The husband's heirs claim the wife died first and the husband inherited the properties, which they now inherit from him. The wife's heirs claim the husband died first without inheriting her, and she additionally became entitled to her ksuba, all of which they should inherit from her. The Gemara brings Malchukas Beisham Beisilil. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, which reminds us, the next mishnah states, Nafla bais alav al imo, a house collapsed on someone and his unmarried mother, killing them. The mother's heirs, meaning her brothers, claim the son died first and did not inherit her assets, so they inherit her. The son's heirs, meaning his paternal brothers from another mother, claim the mother died first and the son inherited her, so they inherit her assets. The Tanakhama says, Eil ve'il modim shi'echoloku, both Beisham and Beisil agree that the groups divide her assets equally. So when the earthquake occurred during the outdoor dessert reception, collapsing one house, killing a husband and wife, and collapsing the house next door, killing someone and his unmarried mother, a rabbi appeared and told the guests, who were various heirs to the deceased and debating who died first, that he has clarity now regarding assigning assets, since Avir de'Eretz Yisrael, Machkim. Which reminds us, when Rabbi Zera went up to Eretz Yisrael, he changed his mind to rule like Rabbi Ila regarding where mother and her only son died, and the respective heirs dispute who inherits the mother's assets, and commented, Shema Mina, Avir de Eretz Yisrael, Machim. We learn from this that the heir of Eretz Yisrael makes one wise because his immigrant to Eretz Yisrael caused him to reconsider his position and arrive at the truth. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number one, which stuff did the incident of one who sold Nichsei Devar Sisin, that's on Daf? Kufnun test. Good number two. Which daf do you discuss what the din is if one borrowed from two people same dehekne and then purchased property? That's on daf. Kufnun zayin. Good number three. Which daf do you and relatives cannot testify because of a gezeres melech? That's on daf. Kufnun test. Good number four. Which daf do the case of someone who sold property and died and his relatives claim he was a katan at the time? That's on daf. Kufnun Dal. Good number five. Which daf do the case of the house that collapsed on someone and his father, and there was a ksuba or debt against the son's assets? That's on daf. Kufnun Zayin. Good number six. Which daf do when one can inherit his grandfather directly, not through his father? That's on daf. Kufnun Tes. Good number seven. Which daf do we machlok about a matnas shchimera on a weekday versus Shabbos? That's on daf. Kufnun Vav. Good number eight. Which daf to discuss what is the minimum age to sell inherited property? That's on daf. Kufnun He. Good number nine. Which daf to discuss de'ekne if property purchased after a loan can become meshubad to the loan? That's on daf. Kufnun Zayin. Good number ten. Which daf to the case of a house collapsing on a man and his wife and the heirs debating who died first? That's on daf. Kufnun Ches. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Ram Goldar from Zichu wishing you a great day and great learning.